As we talk about safety, and today we're going to talk a little bit about chemical safety, and there are so many different functions of the chemical, the crop protection chemicals that we use on a daily basis, but there's also the need to handle them safely.
Yes, I like to stress that probably the first thing you want to do is always read the directions and the important information that's on every chemical before using it. Follow the mixing and the application instructions and the personal protection directions that would be on the chemical label itself or the material safety data sheet, which you can get from your fertilizer dealer.
When we talk about the different functions of safe handling, it's not just the mixing and that aspect of it, but it's also whether it's against yourself and protecting with proper applications, correct?
Right. I think you always want, of course, keep in mind to protect yourself against accidental exposure to chemicals. Don't allow the chemicals to come into contact with your skin or your clothing, and avoid inhaling any vapors. Wear the proper protective clothing suggested by the chemical manufacturer, again, that would be listed on the label or the material safety data sheet. Make sure you check all your chemical equipment often for leakage and possible malfunction. If a problem arises, contact your chemical dealer immediately for some assistance. Now, observe the drift warnings that would be on the chemical label also. And when spraying, drive into the wind or at right angles to the wind whenever possible to prevent drift from getting back on you or other crops and off property. And it's very important to keep complete application records. You always want to stand upwind when you're working with chemicals, mixing or loading, with your face up and away from any openings. And never smoke when handling chemicals or when you're near chemicals, because many of them are flammable or combustible.
Doug, I have one question. When we talk about spraying and the potential to make sure that it's not drifting one onto us, other crops, and property, along with that, is it important that we make sure we're watching the wind speeds and those type of things, just as an added safety precaution?
Absolutely, and that's where we're talking about checking the label. The chemical label is going to give you some information and directions about wind speed and when you should, when it's safe to apply and when it would be too windy to apply.
Doug, let's move on and talk about some of the other aspects. One of the other ones that we may need to be reminded about is the storage of our chemicals. What are some of the some tips to make sure we're storing them safely?
Well, right, because we're probably storing them right on our own farm. And so we want to make sure that they're always kept in their original containers so that we know exactly what chemicals are being stored. We want to keep a good, accurate inventory of the chemicals we have around the farm and identify the storage locations for police and fire departments and keep this information handy just in case of an emergency. Maintain your storage of chemicals in safe, locked locations. Locations should be cool, dry areas that won't overheat or flood. And again, some chemicals are flammable, so open flame heaters should never be used in chemical storage. Also, it's very important, never store chemicals with or near foods, livestock, livestock feeds, medical supplies, or places where children would play.
With us this afternoon is Doug DeFilippo, Safety Services Manager with GrowMark. Doug, as we talk about chemical safety and crop protection safety, we've covered storage, we've covered handling, and now what about transportation? I'm sure there's some tips to make sure we're transporting the product safely as well.
Well, absolutely, because this is where we're really becoming open to the public, and we don't want to expose and have any dangers to the public. So when transporting chemicals in your personal vehicle, make sure containers are upright and properly secured. Containers must be securely blocked and braced and not stacked too high. Travel at a safe speed. Don't rush. Don't get in a hurry. And always buckle up and make sure any passengers you may have with you wear their seatbelts also. If tired, take a break. Don't drive when overworked or fatigued. And, of course, don't text or talk on a cell phone when driving. Avoid those driving distractions. And also now, if you're transporting DOT-regulated hazardous materials, make sure your dealer is giving you the proper shipping papers and placards for display. Because if you have an accident, the placards and shipping papers are going to be very important for the emergency response people to get a hold of, And it is part of the DOT regulations that if you haul a placarded amount of material, you do have to put those diamond-shaped placards in all four sides of your vehicle. And if you don't and get caught, the penalties can be pretty heavy from the DOT.
Doug, let's talk about some personal protection tips.
Well, first and foremost is our own safety and our own protection. So some good tips are, you know, again, before using any chemical, read and follow all the directions from the label and the material safety data sheet. It's a good idea to carry plenty of water to flush out your eyes or any other area that might accidentally be contaminated by chemicals. And store any food or drink containers you may have with you to avoid contact with chemicals. Always wash your hands, face, any other bare skin before you eat, drink, smoke, or go to the bathroom. So it's good to consider and think about carrying, again, this 5 gallons of clean water, some soap, and some paper towels for cleaning in the field should you accidentally get chemicals on yourself or you plan to eat or drink while you're out in the field. And then I'd like to also remind everybody, you know, take a good hot soapy shower at the end of the workday. Don't wait till morning to take your shower because think about the chemicals that might be on your skin. It's going to be absorbed for that 8 hours while you're at home and sleeping before you get up in the morning. So take a good hot soapy shower at the end of the workday, and really that's going to make you feel a little bit better. It's going to kind of relax you. You probably sleep better in the evening at night anyways.
Doug, as we talk about some of those personal protection tips to ensure our safety and some reminders to go over things, what are some of the dangers of overexposure and what happens if maybe we don't follow the safety tips?
Right. Well, it certainly is a direct and a real threat to us that overexposure to some chemicals might produce immediate and obvious symptoms like maybe burning or coughing or nausea. And exposure to other types of chemicals may take longer to produce some reactions. Those are chemicals that can build up in your system. And when symptoms of overexposure do occur, you know, they might be similar to other illnesses or even diseases. You might feel a severe headache, some respiratory problems, fatigue, dizziness, even numbness in the arms and legs, anxiety, abdominal cramps, muscle twitches, confusion, fever, or any one of these symptoms could be a sign of overexposure to chemicals. Now, exposure can come from really one of three basic ways. First is inhalation of chemical vapors, which is why we say, you know, keep your head up and away from any opening if you're mixing and loading chemicals, and consult that label or material safety data sheet because you might just need to wear a organic vapor respirator for extra protection. The second is dermal exposure, and that's simply from coming in contact, you know, chemical on your skin, be it a liquid or a dry that might land on your skin. And the third is oral. You might even take it in while eating or drinking anything without washing your hands, and you can transfer the chemicals to the food, and then you simply ingest the food, and you're ingesting the chemicals also. If you ever experience any possible symptoms of overexposure after you've been around or working with chemicals, don't assume that you're just simply suffering from the flu or maybe too much heat. Again, get that label or material safety data sheet of the product, and you'll get to your doctor or even call your poison control center to be sure. The label or material safety data sheet will list the chemical's active ingredient name and the antidote.
Doug, some great tips and reminders for us as we get into the chemical application, at least hopefully soon, once we can get going here in the fields.
Absolutely, Megan.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Hope everybody has a very safe, successful spring season.
That's Doug DeFilippo, Safety Services Manager with GrowMark.